Barf.
I feel like you're more brain.
I feel like you're a bit more put together than me. I'm
quite scattered.
I don't feel put together at all. Like, yeah, but I think people look at me and go, that's what you don't want to do. Welcome to That Showbiz Baby. Today we're talking about sex toys and female orgasms.
So definitely just want to put a disclaimer. This is an 18 plus conversation.
18 plus conversation. Who do we know that's a minor and listening to this shit?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's
but
there's true.
Always a chance, and I don't want to be in trouble for something.
Yeah.
When they shouldn't have been.
This is
so
not.
Get lost.
It's not for minors, okay? It's for adults. This is an adult podcast
unless,
for adult
yeah,
people.
Yeah, if you're an adult that work in a mine and that's how you're a minor, then you're welcome.
Yes.
That was a terrible joke.
That was a terrible joke.
Please delete that. Oh my
I
God.
Will 100% be deleting that. So we're clear. Okay, so we're gonna start off with the history of sex toys.
This is scary.
Well, yeah. Everything have you like, in. Have you ever like Googled pictures of like old sex?
Yes.
It's like so horrible.
Yes.
So, anyways, sex toys date back to the Ice Age, but in 2018, it was still illegal to sell them in Alabama. So, in the Victorian age, vibrators were used to treat over 300 diseases. One of which was hysteria, but it was always by penetration and never by clitoral stimulation. And they were used on men as well as women, like also used to treat sciatica, asthma, and baldness. Like, allow me to penetrate you, that will and you'll grow some hair after that, let me tell you.
Oh, my
gosh. Baking PFB. So the doctors did know the function of the clitoris in the Victorian age, but it was like, well, we're not going to develop any kind of vibrator that focuses on clitoral stimulation because women would have complained about it being too sexual.
Yeah, sure.
I think that, like, in that age, I think that they
yeah.
would have.
No,
nowadays, we're like, the more the better! 30,000 years ago, the first sex toys were phallic batons made during the Upper Paleolithic era. Although there is debate on this point, like, you have archaeologists debating and saying, oh, they have marks on them. They could be used to shape flint. But, like, there's no reason that they needed to sharpen flint on something shaped like a penis. Like, what? They also used unripe bananas and dried camel dung covered in resin. So cock rings are developed during the Jin Dynasty in China. So this would have been just previous to Genghis Khan, probably the year 1115 to 1234, 1234, if you will. So the science of cock rings is straightforward enough. There's a cock ring that goes to the base of the penis, and then the ring prevents the blood within an engorged penis flow back into the body, meaning that you can stay erect for longer than you would be able to without the handy assist there. Mm-hmm. Thank you, cock rings. So the mid-15th century, guess what comes on the scene?
Literally?
Okay, in the how dare you? That's audacious. In the mid-15th century, what book is published? The Bible. If you Google, like, Bible verses about sex toys, there's like nothing, right? But then people always bring up this verse in Ezekiel. So in the book of Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel is condemning Jerusalem, and he's using gendered metaphors to explain like what a bad girl Jerusalem is. And he's like, Jerusalem,
like that naughty bitch.
He's like, Jerusalem, I am the Lord your God. You know, we were sworn lovers. I was pleasuring you every night. Like, I was a faithful and dedicated lover. The exact verses are like, you grew and developed and entered puberty. Your breasts had formed and your hair had grown. And later I passed by. When I looked at you, I saw you were old enough for love. Okay. This is all metaphor. It's not talking about an actual girl.
Yeah.
but still weird. So I
fucking weird.
I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your naked body, which means having sex. I gave you my solemn oath and entered into a covenant with you, declares the sovereign Lord, and you became mine. He goes on to say, like, I clothed you and I fed you and you grew in beauty and we were sworn lovers, but then you forsook my love and cheated on me with other men. And then you, like, took my gifts to make a dildo, basically. Mm-hmm. So the exact passage is, you went to him, like the other man, yeah, and he possessed your beauty. You also took the fine jewelry I gave you, the jewelry made of my gold and silver, and you made for yourself male idols. So male idol means
yeah,
a penis, and engaged in prostitution with them. So what this doesn't actually mean that sex toys are bad. What this actually means is that it's a type of prophet speech where he uses gendered language to talk about economic trade and military alliances, like gold and silver from the land being used to secure military strength. So basically he's saying, you commodified what I gave to you in love and now you're getting fucked by it.
Yeah,
that's what he's saying. There's also several theological papers published on the subject of, like, Samson is a kink story. He liked to be tied up. Like, why does he get tied up all the time? Because Delilah was his dom. There's several biblical papers on that as well. Like, he was like a very, like, high-ranking military official. Like, he's in charge every day, all day. So when he gets home, like, to, like, let off steam, he wants someone else to be in charge.
Everybody wants a dommy mommy.
Yeah. So in 1400, the word dildo comes into play. And it's based on the Latin word dilatare, meaning to open wide, and the Italian word diletta, which means delight. So if you combine those two meanings, you literally get open wide for delight. In the 1600s, French sailors pioneered sex dolls by bringing women made out of straw on long, lonely trips, and they would call them, these were called the dames de voyage. And then A Winter's Tale, a play by Shakespeare, comes out, and he mentions dildos by name in that. So, you know, Shakespeare, he was ahead of his time. Japanese, like, the Japanese are a common theme whenever we talk about anything. Just like they were in there.
Yep.
So the Japanese had a playfulness towards dildos, and drawings in the 17th and 18th centuries show the ideal conjugal bedroom as having sex toys. Like, the Japanese, they're just coming in hot, like, every time. So the first butt plug is from the 1850s. Side note, when I was home for Christmas, my parents asked me if I knew about the existence of butt plugs. They were like, did you know that, like, butt plugs is a thing that exists? I was like, yeah.
Oh my God.
I was like, how did you find out about
them? How did it become?
My mom used to work with this younger gal, well, younger than her, named Anne, and I guess Anne told them about butt plugs. I was like, thanks for asking me. I do know about it. I know about it. That's all.
End of discussion.
The 2,000-year-old tombs of China's Han Dynasty contained an ancient sex toy collection, including bronze and jade dildos. Jade was thought to ward off evil spirits, so these phallic-like objects were often used to plug orifices of the yeah, body, so that the chi could be preserved for the deceased in the afterlife. Like,
yeah,
don't let anything get in here, just plug it up. The Greeks' sexual practices bring a whole new meaning to let's get this bread. One of their recorded sexual practices involves the practice of olus bocolics. I can't even pronounce it. Like, don't ask me. I don't know Greek. Anyways, what it was is they would simply use a loaf of bread as a diddle. I was like, that seems like it would cause so many vaginal yeast infections.
Yeah.
You kidding me? Like, don't upset the pH.
It would make more sense if it was used, because, like, bread is soft inside.
Like, where's to fuck a piece of bread?
Yeah.
Put it on top. Don't exactly. Put it in. In the 80s, dildos were seen as a sign of the patriarchy. And so the mindset was that if you're a good lesbian, you don't use a strap-on. That has changed. In 1873, the Comstock Act is drafted by Anthony Comstock, who wanted to ban all contraception, all sex toys, and all pornography. And he succeeded. Vibrators came around in the 19th century, and they were in when they first sort of arrived on the scene, they were powered by hand cranks and water. They've changed their look a lot over the years. The Andis vibrator was popular throughout the 1930s and was advertised for men and women. So the toy was advertised as a beauty tool to promote circulation in the body, face, and scalp. But after further inspection, with the many add-ons that accompany the device, it is thought that women's, they were like, oh, you don't have to just use this on your face. You could stimulate other areas if you wanted. In the 1950s, there was a famous Kinsey study on sexuality published, where it was discovered that more than 70% of women don't climax through just penetration. So companies started coming out with vibrators that were advertised to deliver more than 50 orgasms in a row, which, like, who?
The math.
I'm ready. Like, just roll me over and bury me after three. Like, I can't. 50? No, thank you. In the 1970s, the magic wand enters the group chat. In the 1980s, the first clitoral sucker appears on the scene, and it delivered two types of clitoral stimulation simultaneously. I was like, well, that sounds like a good time. It was acceptable in the 80s. In 1983, to get around tightening obscenity laws, Japanese companies like Vibratex started making vibrators that were shaped like, you know, innocent little adorable things. So some were modeled after animals, including kangaroos, turtles, and rabbits, and came in bright colors. It's not a vibrator, it's just a cute little bunny. So anti-sex toy laws were in effect as recently as 2018, but and until the year 2008, they were illegal in Texas. Meanwhile, Viagra is legal and covered by a prescription, but it's fine. The first sex toy that was designed specifically for transgender men was created in 2016. Most sex toys fit into the gender binary, like this one's for boys, this one's for girls. There's a sex toy company that has a $1 million vibrator. It has diamonds and gold and can be worn as a pendant.
Bling, bling.
I bet Gwyneth Paltrow has one. So these have started coming on the scene recently. Virtual reality sex toys. So there's one called iFuck, like IFUK. Have you heard of this?
No, I've just heard of
virtual reality. So it has a male masturbator, and you put it on, and then you put on the DVD, and it mimics the sex you see on screen.
Yeah.
So weird. So worldwide, the sex toy industry rakes in $15 billion a year, with 19.2% of sales being vibrators and 16% being dildos. 50% of women start using sex toys in their 20s. 12% of women use a sex toy at least once a week to masturbate. And because we knew you were wondering, New Zealand is the number one country as far as vibrator ownership goes. 35% of all New Zealanders have at least one in their possession. Whereas only 1% of women in the 70s used sex toys, that number has increased to roughly 53% nowadays. A 2009 study found that a whopping 75% of women do not orgasm during sex without the assistance of a toy or manual stimulation. Okay, myths about sex toys. Number one myth, it's okay for women to use sex toys, but not men.
Yeah.
No, we can both use them. Yeah. Vibrators are for men who aren't enough to get their partner off on their own. Have you ever, like, been with anyone that's, like, weird about... So this one guy I dated, he was like, well, I just wouldn't want to think that I'm not enough, like, on my own to get my partner off. And I was like...
I like, know many guys that have that mindset of, like, it's tied to their worth then.
Yeah. I don't understand. Like, why? For what reason?
I think it's because, like, at least those dudes don't have an issue getting off.
Yeah.
And it's so hard for them to understand that our, like, bodies are completely different. Our nerve endings are completely different.
Yeah.
How everything functions is completely different. So it's not anything to do with them.
Yeah. This isn't about you. It's about me.
But also kind of you.
But also kind of you. Sexually, I prefer men who are, like, willing to use a toy. Like, that's just more fun.
Yeah.
I thought we were fun. Here to have a good time.
Yeah. I think that's the thing is there's a lot of just not fun sex.
Yeah, I'm like, I have no time for not fun sex. Get out of here.
Like, there was a time period where I felt awkward even to laugh during during sex?
I feel awkward if I don't laugh during sex. I'm like, this is hilarious. Are you kidding me? I'm going to run commentary the entire time. You are going to hear from me. Like, everyone in the house is going to hear from me. Yeah. Just kidding.
And jokes. I think there's another aspect where it's a fear of not, like, these guys that don't feel comfortable with toys, it's because they genuinely don't know how the toy works and don't know how women pleasure works.
Yeah, I think they're like, oh, my penis isn't enough. And it's like, your penis, it's fine. Like, I'm not going to write home about it, but it's fine. But you know what would be even cooler? If there was some clitoral stimulation happening right now. Electronically. Anyways, next myth, sex toys provoke sex addiction. So although people can get used to using sex toys and even begin to rely on them, there's no such thing as sex toy addiction, and anyone can easily return to usual masturbation or partner sex without using sex toys. I just find that the sex you get from solo sex toys and the sex with partner is just different. It's just a different just thing.
Different. And there's honestly times where I don't actually want to use toys.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because I'm lazy or just like, I don't know.
I don't want to do it every time, but it's just like,
it's my collection. Select your toys.
Yeah. So I do think that like, there's no such thing as sex toy addiction. That being said, when I'm mid journey and my vibrator dies, I'm like, I will simply not finish myself off manually.
No, I've seen
so many memes. Are you kidding me? Do you want me to get carpal tunnel? No, it's not happening.
I've seen so many memes about like, what? I was supposed to go back to the dark ages and use my hand?
Literally, though. I cannot be fucking bothered to do that.
It can wreck my entire day.
Yeah.
If my vibrator dies.
Yeah, I immediately plug it in, and then I'm like, I'm just going to wait 20 minutes. Like, I don't care.
Side note, if you don't want to run into that issue, just buy one that plugs into the wall.
Yeah. Or just, you know, charge your vibrator.
Yeah, it should be the same cycle as charging your phone.
Yes. Well, every night? Oh my god. You need to get a longer lasting vibrator. That's a serious problem. Can I just say?
I wasn't applying, but that's what I did.
Were you?
Mine plugs into the wall, so I'm sad.
So you plug them in every night? First of all, how many are there?
No, I'm just implying that, like, you know how your phone is just second nature. Oh, I need to plug in my phone. It's just to have that same mindset with your sex toys. It's like, oh, I need to charge this.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, okay. So, next myth. Men only use sex toys when they cannot be involved in real sexual intercourse. So, this is false because, you know, when it comes to men and sex toys, the reality is that millions of men use sex toys. According to a survey that found 21% of respondents used them both in romantic relationships and when they were single.
Yeah.
So the most effective approach for a man to become a better lover, listen up men, not that any men listen to my podcast, but just in case, is to have a greater understanding of your own sexual response. So sex toys show that a man is intelligent enough to be interested in his own sexuality and therefore more likely to be successful in bed. It's not a size, it's what you do with it. Can I get an amen? Anyways, there's also our last myth is that like sex toys are going to replace men, which is like sex toys are great, but it's like just a different experience from sex with another person.
Oh yeah, like when you have another actual human there, there is like a mental, a spiritual,
yeah,
sexual connection. Like all of those things tie in together. Yeah.
I can't get my vibrator to big spoon me afterwards. I've been trying, but. Okay, so a little bit of background knowledge about women's orgasms. So my book recommendations on this subject are, number one, She Comes First. A second one, Come As You Are.
Come as you are.
No, no, no! God, no! Please! I'm asking you not to. if you see a diagram of the clitoris, there's the little hill, there's the big pillar, and then there's the electric bell.
Wow, that's terrible.
That's
I hate that description.
You don't like the electric bell?
It's
ring,
electric.
Ring my bell. So according to Greek mythology, the prophet Tiresias was harassing a pair of mating snakes when, you know, Hera happens upon this, and he's like, and she's like, absolutely fucking not. And she transforms him into a woman as quote unquote punishment. So after this prophet has lived it in a woman form for 7 years, she changes him back. Later, Hera and Zeus, to settle an argument between them, whether male or female has the most pleasure in sex. Hera thought it was men, and Zeus said women. So they go and ask Tiresias about this. You know, you've been on both sides. What do you think? And so Tiresias replies, oh, it's women. Definitely women. Like, no contest. It's women. And then for this impertinence, Hera struck him blind. So a French physician dissected the clitoris for the first time in 1545, and he named it Ombre en tout, the shameful member. It's fucking rude. And declared its sole purpose to be urination. Dare to dream. The earlier origins of the word are murky. Clitoris comes from the Greek clitoris, which has been translated as both little hill and to rub. So like to rub a little hill. Around 60% of the clitoris's bulk lies beneath the surface. It's like a sprawling underground kingdom of nerves and vessels. Underneath the nub, called the glans clitoris, a plump wishbone shape encircles the vagina with arms that flare out up to 9 centimeters into the pelvis. And all the parts beneath the surface are made of erectile tissue, meaning they swell with blood when aroused to become bigger. So women do get hard-ons, just in case you're wondering. The first comprehensive anatomical study of the clitoris is conducted in 1998.
That's terrifying.
Well, what the fuck?
Why is that in our lifetime?
Yeah. So have you ever heard the phrase, is the clitoris in the room with us right now?
Yeah.
So in 2019, a study was published by YouGov, which surveyed over 2,000 British adults, and 31% of them could not label the clitoris. So if you extrapolated that data to the global population, that means 1.2 billion men don't know how to locate the clitoris, they don't know where it is. Studies show that around 10% of women have never had an orgasm. According to research published in the Journal of Sexual Research, women's ability to orgasm increased by 30% after taking part in a mindfulness program. So learn to meditate so you can masturbate, basically, I guess. Not all female orgasms feel the same, so the genitals are connected to several different pairs of nerves, and stimulating different combinations of nerves produces different sensations. A blended orgasm occurs when multiple parts of the genital area are stimulated at the same time. So, for example, when the clitoris is connected to the pudendal nerves, the vagina is connected to the pelvic nerves, and the cervix is connected to the hypogastric, pelvic, and vagus nerves. When they are stimulated together, it can create a stronger blended orgasm. Woo! Woohoo! Female orgasms do get better with age. According to research, 61% of women aged 18 to 24 experienced orgasm the last time they had sex, compared to 65% of women in their 30s and 75% of women in their 40s and 50s.
Yeah, let's go
40s. Yeah, let's get it. So it's thought that this is because they have more experience and confidence in the bedroom, and so they're not afraid to express their physical and emotional needs.
Yeah.
What's more, women can achieve orgasm well past the age of 90. Nice. So the female orgasm on average lasts around 13 to 51 seconds. This is quite a bit longer than the typical male orgasm, which lasts for 6 seconds on average. We're having a better time for longer, basically. If you experience a vaginal or clitoral orgasm, the vagina, uterus, and anus contract rapidly 3 to 15 times for 0.8 seconds at a time. A female orgasm can burn between 60 and 100 calories. According to the International Society for Sexual Medicine, most women can achieve multiple orgasms. It's way easier for women to orgasm when lube is involved. So women have reported experiencing orgasms in all kinds of situations when they weren't expecting it. So spontaneous, non-sexual orgasms can be caused by increased blood flow to the genitals combined with vibration or contact with the clitoris. During labor, there are also massive surges of ecstasy-inducing hormones like prolactin, oxytocin, and beta endorphins. Exercise-induced orgasms, in particular, seem to have been the gym addict's best-kept secret until a 2011 study by human sexuality researchers at Indiana University revealed that about a quarter of the 530 women they interviewed had climaxed while working on their abdominals, riding a bike, or lifting weights. Mm-hmm. Roughly a third of women are unable to have an orgasm through any means. Says Mestin, who was the chair of the World Health Organization's 2005 Orgasm Committee. So, orgasm committee is a thing. Recent research has confirmed that anatomy plays a role. Some women are just born to orgasm and some have to work at it. Mm-hmm. On average, it takes women about 10 minutes or more to orgasm. It's easier for women to achieve orgasm with multiple sensations or a variety of sex acts. Research shows that how women feel about themselves is linked to the quality of their orgasms. Like their self-esteem.
Yeah.
So using brain scans, researchers tracked which areas of the brain lit up during types of stimulation. And while the genital sensing brain areas in women roughly corresponded to the same areas in men, something else happened when they got to the nipples. When they were stimulated, the sensation traveled to the same part of the brain as the vagina, clitoris, and cervix, lighting up the same way that it would if those areas were being stimulated. So researchers have a reason for why this may happen. Stimulating the nipples releases oxytocin, which is the same hormone that triggers uterus contractions during labor. So nipple stimulation might trigger uterine contractions, which then trigger the genital area of the brain. According to Dr. Horton, the female orgasm is broken down into four distinct stages: excitement, plateau, the actual orgasm, and the resolution. So the excitement phase is when arousal builds. And the plateau phase happens when arousal increases and levels off. This leads to the third phase, orgasm, which is the intense feeling of pleasure followed by resolution when arousal diminishes. But some research shows that women may not go through those phases in that exact order. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you may cycle through excitement and plateau a few times before reaching orgasm, which, like, that does happen to me a lot where I'm like, I thought, where are we going? Come on! An orgasm gap between lesbians, bisexual, and heterosexual women. So one study showed that 86% of lesbians reported usually having an orgasm, as opposed to 66% of bisexual women, and then 65% of heterosexual women reported the same. So there's like a huge jump between lesbians and the rest of us. Dang. And that apparently has to do with the type of sex they're having. Okay. Common types of sex toys. Dildos. So these can come in vibrating shape sizes, vibrating patterns, thrusters, rabbits. So there's this one called a rabbit that, like, it has these like little ears so it like, can reach your clitoris at the same time as it's, anyways. Strap-ons. Won't someone ever think of the lesbians? So BDSM paraphernalia, so like floggers, nipple clamps, blindfolds, handcuffs, paddles, rope, bar spreaders. You can look it up. Clitoral stimulation vibrators, so like suction, caressing, air vibes, and like there apparently there's these like hands-free vibrators that you can just like attach and then it just goes the whole time. And then anal toys, so like butt plugs, anal beads, prostate toys for man. Apparently they like having their prostate massaged. I don't know what that means. And then vibrators and dildos. How old were you when you first became aware of the existence of sex toys, and how did you feel about them?
I feel like I was in my early teens.
Really?
In our previous episodes where we talked about porn, like the first time I watched Martin was when I was 9.
Yeah.
So it was somewhere between like 9 and 15, I became aware of them. And I'm sure I thought it was weird at first because anything in regards to sex was like, oh, taboo, it's sexual. But I don't think I thought much of it or anything.
So I was like maybe in my, I would say early 20s. I didn't know that it was a thing before that, I don't think. It did seem kind of like weirdly, because this is like before I had sex, so I was like, this does seem weirdly impersonal to me. And I did not know yet that the best kind of sex you can have is with yourself. But I was like, oh, I would like never do that because I just want to like have the real thing with like a real person. But then eventually I was like, do you know what might be easier to do than to find someone I would actually want to have sex with? Is to just try this out at home by myself where no one can laugh at me. Do you remember vibrators for women or like female orgasms or women's pleasure or anything like that ever discussed in any kind of Christian setting you've been a part of?
No.
Never.
Like, never?
No.
I'll never, like, in my entire life until I got, like, me and my friends were all old and then we talked about sex and stuff. My entire life, it was never brought up about a woman's pleasure.
Yeah.
Ever.
I think I definitely not in our church. That was not talked about. Actually, that's not true. I talked about it. I held a masturbation, like, so I had a small group of girls and I think Ange was in, it was like Ange and her friends. So I forget what age they are, but so I asked, what do you guys want to talk about? And I said, and Ange said, I want to talk about masturbation. And I was like, great. So I created this PowerPoint and
of course they do.
And then I like invited the moms because I was like, I don't want everyone to think that I'm just like,
yeah,
if like it's not a how-to. I should have done a how-to. If I could go back in time, I would have done a how-to. I'd have been like, ladies, listen.
Ladies,
listen,
please.
You guys. First of all, you need to get some money from your parents. You need to buy a vibrator. You don't want to get carpal tunnel this earlier. It's a bad vibe. Yeah, so I did this, and there was definitely pushback. I think one woman was like, told the senior pastor, well, I just don't think they need to be talking about that.
Well, yeah, that just shows another way of, like, sex in our body and pleasure is all that.
Yeah. And I didn't even talk about sex toys at all. I was just like, masturbation, is it okay? Is it a sin? And then I was like, it's not a sin. But Andrew really loved this presentation so much that she'd like say that she would like print out like the PowerPoint and then she like lost it all over her school. And then like teachers would find these like PowerPoint slides that have been printed out. I was like, thank you, I'm now famous accidentally. So then at Awaken, we did have, so there's this really wonderful lady we are all friends with named Jill, and she's a sex therapist. And so she came and did like a workshop with us. After that, there was a group of us that continued meeting, and we called it Vagina Club, and we would just get together and talk about like sexual issues we were experiencing or like things the church had taught us that is like no longer true. And we would like do things like we went to omges.com and like learned about edging together. We like watched an instructional video together.
Oh, that's so like, funny.
We're just like, oh. Later on in life, as I became more sex positive, I think my faith definitely did as well. There was also a book that Nadia Bowles Weber, she's a pastor, she's a priest, she's a Lutheran priest maybe, but she wrote this book called Shameless, and I read it and I was like, yes, there is space for like this version of like sexual flourishing that doesn't just have to be sex doesn't exist for women. So I think that was good, but definitely growing up, it was like not talked about at all. I just always got the impression that like sex is just going to be painful, and I didn't even know that sex toys existed. Tell me about your personal journey with sex toys.
Sure.
This can be as vague or as specific as you want. You don't have to like be like, and then.
Yeah. I think I was quite shy to the idea of it. I think it's just like I didn't know where to start or how to start or like. There are millions of shapes and sizes of just everything.
Yeah.
And just, like, where do I fit into this? And, like, what is a norm? And I think I ended up just, like, buying a vibrator on Amazon. And then I was so scared that it was going to be delivered in a box that said what it was.
Yeah.
Like, I had this
We need to scrape boxes.
Yeah. And so I was in, like, mid-20s, I'd say, the first time I tried. And then I was like, oh. I get it.
Yeah.
I think it's more comfortable I found myself within it, because it was like, I still struggled with this, like, ooh, sex. Ooh, you don't talk about it.
Yeah.
The mentality for so fucking long.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, I wouldn't even walk into, like, a sex shop because I'm, like, I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, what's up, bitches?
It's me again. Hi, it's me. Yeah. I'm the problem. It's me.
But I think that's just, honestly, such a, like, a fear-based, like, hate your body, hate pleasure thing that was, mm-hmm. like, really ingrained growing up. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would say I have expanded my collection.
Haven't we all?
I think, yeah, like, I am happy with what I have tried out. There's some things that were not for me, and that's okay, too.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I've just figured out what I enjoy.
Yeah, that's great. So I really do owe so much to sex toys. So, like, during the pandemic was, like, kind of this thing that happened where I was like, maybe I'll try having an orgasm. Just, like, try it out. Just test this up. I was kind of hemming and hawing about it a lot. And I'd be like, oh, I think it'll be... And people were like, yeah, you should do it. You should do it. But the more people, like, told me to do it, the more I was like... My friend told me about this one vibrator that she like. So she like basically got to try out this vibrator for free. And it was called the Womanizer. So how it works is like a silicone head seals off the clitoris, and there's like a constant change between vacuum and overpressure. So it's like however many like pops of air on your clitoris like per second. That's how it works basically. And then the more she talked about it, I'm like, yeah, that seems like, because I think the idea of penetration was still very alien and scary to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, Leon, just put it in a ghost. I was like, great. So I order this thing and it comes to the house. But even if like the hunters had seen, they would just think it was funny. Like they wouldn't care at all. Although one time I did lose my charger to my vibrator and Aaron kept me. What is this charger for? What does it charge? And I was like, just this thing. She's like, well, what is it? Can I see it? I was like, no.
No, you can't.
No, you can't. This thing came in the mail, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous. And then, like, I hadn't even thought about, like, the question of lubricant or anything. And Steph was like, well, you can't just, like, go. You need lubrication. And I was like, I do? Where do I get it? Like, how do I? I'm scared. Yeah. Do I have to wear a mask when I go to the store? It's the pandemic. I was like, I can't just be leaving my house just to buy lubricant in the middle of a goddamn global pandemic. But like, how
hashtag
many
priorities.
Hashtag priorities. But then like what happened for the longest time was that I would go for a little bit, and then when it would start to build, I would get really scared and I would just shut it off. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, it's too much. It feels too good.
Yeah.
I what's gonna happen? So, but then eventually I got over that as well. So the Womanizer is still a constant staple in my life, I would say. It's like, came up with this name. How dare you? What about you? What's your favorite?
My favorite is just
the wand.
Wand vibrator.
Nice.
Easy peasy.
Is there any sex toys you would not try?
No, because I've tried them already.
I think there are some that I'm like, oh, that seems quite nerve-wracking.
I literally can't think of something, yeah. Like, my mindset is, you don't know until you try. And so, there's definitely a lot of stuff that I'm just like, no, that's not for me.
Yeah, so that's our episode on sex toys. So if you are looking for a sex toy and you're like, I don't even know where to begin, like, there's so many, where do I start?
First of all, feel free to reach out to us.
Feel free to reach out. Kate knows so much about sex toys. I only know a quarter of what Kate knows, apparently. But for my money, the best, like, starting out is, like, anything that sort of stimulates. Like, honestly, it is, like, a lazy person's dream. I just put that thing in my pants. I don't even move it around. I'm just like, hey, you're...
Thing back where you're
yeah. I'm like, do your job. Pony up.
But also, I just want to state, like, there's no right or wrong here. A lot of this is exploration. And, like, I can only state for myself that I was super embarrassed at my lack of knowledge in this realm.
Yeah, I was in my 30s. I was like 34 years old. I was like,
yeah, and but I was also embarrassed because I felt like I didn't know my body.
Yeah, same. And I didn't.
And so just like allow yourself some grace to just like figure that out. It's part of the journey. It's part of the fun. It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
Yeah.
Like a lot of us pretend like we know what we're doing and we don't.
I absolutely do not have any idea of what I'm doing ever, especially when it comes with regards to sex.
Yeah.
But for my money, the best, like, the best starting out toy is, like, just has to be the womanizer. Like, just try it out. Just buy one. If you don't like it, you can sell it. Just kidding. You can't do that. That would be unhygienic. But
awesome. What are we going to do with it? Put it on Marketplace? Lightly used.
Gently used. Yeah. I love the gently used advertisements for, like, not sex toys, but just, like, couches and stuff. It's like, just, gently used.
Yeah, just random. You're like
well
did
seasoned.
You sit on it, like, half?
Would almost? You like this well-seasoned mattress? You start out with, like, no one there, and it's, like, just yourself, and you're just trying it out, then it does... You can sometimes be surprised by the things that you like.
Yeah.
And I think likewise, you can also be surprised by the things that you don't like. Like something you expected, like, oh, this will be fun. And then you try it out and you're like, that was not.
That was not fun.
That was not fun.
Well, and also, like, hey, I consider myself to have quite a lot of knowledge in this realm. But even me, I went to one of my gay besties to find out their, like, process for
who's like, your other bestie that you're having bestie relations with? I demand answers. Show this man to me.
But like I asked what he does because I'm just like, well,
what are the gays
you,
doing
you do this?
I need to know.
Even to the extent where I'm like, I feel silly asking this, like, I keep my body clean.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you do to keep that clean?
Yeah.
Like, just literally, you don't know.
Find something. A bidet.
Yeah.
That is how you do it. Bidet.
Or if you don't have a bidet, at least have like a shower head so that you can like remove and clean yourself nicely.
Yes. Oh yeah. Personal hygiene when it comes to sex toys. Wash after using it. Just
oh gosh.
Please. I'm begging you. Yeah. Wash it after you use it.
And please don't use things that aren't supposed to be.
Yeah, like something, like, for example, if you're at home and like, maybe I'll try this banana, don't do it.
Yeah.
There is a pH balance in your vagine, and it needs to be maintained.
Yeah.
And remember, if you've ever...
stuck your finger up your butt, just to see.
That's just... show this. Stop. Stop it. We cannot release this. Don't release the tapes. Don't release them. We have to release it.